We come today to Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 7. Hebrews chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The writer has shown that Jesus is greater than the angels, chapter 1. He has shown that Jesus is greater than Moses, chapter 3. He has shown that Jesus is greater than Joshua, chapter 4. These Hebrew Christians knew their Old Testament. They had been taught the Old Testament scriptures from childhood, and so they knew about Joshua. They knew about Moses, and they had great respect and admiration for Moses, the great prophet of God. But some of these Jewish Christians had grown weak. So it may have been surprising for somebody to say that anybody is greater than Moses. But if any of these readers were taken back when he said that somebody was greater than Moses, they would have been even more surprised when he says in chapter 7 that someone is greater than the father of the great nation himself, and that is the patriarch Abraham. But this is exactly what we find in this reading. Jesus is greater than Abraham. But so is someone else. A man that the Old Testament says little about, but he is a very important man. This man set the stage for Jesus being our high priest. So what we want to do in this lesson is to look at this man named Melchizedek. We want to see how the writer uses him as one of his main arguments in this book, to warn these Hebrew Christians not to leave Jesus Christ and the gospel and his New Testament and go back to the law of Moses. Who was this man Melchizedek? As we've already noted, you only read about this man in two books of the Old Testament, and there's really very little that's said about him. In Genesis 14, we read about Melchizedek, and then, centuries later, in Psalm 110, we find that the Bible mentions Melchizedek. So in verse 1, the Bible says that Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. That is very important. Notice that he says that Melchizedek was king and priest. He was a priest of God and a king at the same time. Now think of that. That could not happen under the law of Moses. A man could not, biblically, that is, lawfully, be a priest and a king under the law of Moses at the same time, because the king and the priest came from different tribes. But Melchizedek was a king and a priest at the same time. That means that he was a different kind of priest than the priest under the law of Moses. Now, that is absolutely key if we're going to understand why he is going into such detail here about this man Melchizedek. You've got a lot of space devoted to this man here, so we know that what the writer is talking about must be vital. Verse 1, refers to the story in Genesis chapter 14 when Abraham's nephew Lot was captured in the battle. Abraham took over 300 of his servants and he rescued Lot. That's what the Bible means when it says that Melchizedek met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Notice those words. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. If these readers in the first century who were reading this epistle for the first time really thought about this, if they thought about and meditated on the consequences of what is said about Melchizedek and about Jesus being a priest like him, it would have opened their eyes. But let's read on. In verse 2, the Bible gives us some interpretation of the names and the descriptions that we found in verse 1. In verse 2, the Bible says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." Abraham gave him a tenth of the spoils of war to honor him. And we're going to come back to that because that is absolutely another key in this argument that he is unfolding for us. But notice that he says in verse 2 that this Melchizedek was, by interpretation, king of righteousness. The name Melchizedek is from two Hebrew words. The first word means king, and then the second word means of righteousness. So when you say Melchizedek, you're saying king of righteousness. And then when he says that he was the king of Salem, the word Salem is from the Hebrew word for peace. And so he was the king of peace. Now remember that Melchizedek was not only king and priest at the same time, but he was a priest, a high priest of the Most High God long before the law of Moses was ever given. That's also very important to remember. Now, verse 3 is a passage that has brought on a lot of questions over the years. What does this mean when it says that Melchizedek was without father and without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life? Does that mean that he was never born, that he never died, that he never had a father and a mother? No, it does not mean that. It cannot mean that. This is a passage about his priesthood. That is what we have to remember here. When the Bible says he was without father and without mother and without descent, that means that he was without a record of his father, a record of his mother, and a record of his descent in order to qualify him to be a priest. He was without a genealogy or a family tree. Now, the Jewish readers, the Jewish Christians who read this for the first time, understood that a priest under the law of Moses, a priest in the religion that they had been brought up in, had to be able to prove his ancestry. He had to be able to show his genealogy. He had to show that he descended from the tribe of Levi, or he could not be a priest. And so it was not only important, it was absolutely essential for a priest under the law of Moses to be able to prove who his parents were, who his grandparents were, and who all his ancestors were going all the way back to Levi. And so when the Bible says that Melchizedek was without father and without mother and without descent, it simply means that he was without the written record of those. That requirement was never placed on Melchizedek. And when the Bible says in verse 3 that he had neither beginning of days nor end of life, that's talking about the beginning of his priesthood and the end of his priesthood. There was no record and there was no requirement about when his priesthood started and when it stopped. Now, the law of Moses, on the other hand, had all those regulations and those requirements. So Melchizedek was a one-of-a-kind priest. He was not one priest in a line of priests. There was not one man who was the high priest before Melchizedek, and then Melchizedek came and took over, and then after Melchizedek died, somebody else took his place. There was no high priest before him like him, and there was no high priest after him like him. He was just a priest of God, as the Bible says in verse 3, continually. When the writer first mentioned the fact that Jesus is a priest like Melchizedek back in chapter 5, verse 6, when he said, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember that he didn't talk about that much there. He didn't explain. He didn't expand on that. He simply planted the seed. And now, a couple of chapters later, he's going into detail about this. And now, he explains to us what it means for Jesus to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In verse 4, he said, now consider how great this man was. That's what he wants those people to do. That is exactly what he wants us to see. Think about Melchizedek, and you'll get the point of this book. The point of this book is that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. But what kind of high priest? Not a high priest like the Jews had in their religion, but a high priest like Melchizedek. Well, if he's a high priest like Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is even greater than Abraham, then that means that Jesus is greater than Abraham, and that means that Jesus' New Testament is greater than the Old Testament. And so in verse 4, the Bible says, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. If they would really think about this, if they really meditated on what he was talking about, they would not have been weak on the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament like some of them were. So in verse 5, he talks about the fact that the Levites, who were priests, were paid by other Jews. He says they have a commandment to take tithes, that is a tenth of the people, according to the law. And so under the Old Testament law, the Jews paid one-tenth in order to support those Levites. Now his point is this. In verse 6, long before there were any Levites, long before there was a law of Moses, Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek. Now again, you have to go back and put yourself in the shoes of these Jewish Christians, because there's hardly anybody, if anyone, that they regarded any higher than Abraham. They had great admiration and respect for Abraham. And yet now the Hebrew writer is showing them that there was somebody in the Old Testament that was greater than Abraham. I wonder if any of them had ever thought of that question, is anyone greater than Abraham? Well, he's showing that there was. Because again, in verse 6, he says, but he whose descent is not counted from them, that is, Melchizedek's descent, Melchizedek's priesthood, did not descend from the Levites. He didn't come from that tribe. He was born long before and lived long before there were any Levites. And yet, the Bible says, that Abraham paid him a tenth. And also, the Bible says in verse 6, and this is where the key comes in to understanding his point here. Melchizedek, as he said in verse 1, blessed him that had the promises. Who is the one that had the promises? That's Abraham. Because God made that land promise and the promise of a great nation to Abraham. The Bible says in verse 7, and without all contradiction, and that simply means that there is no question, there's no doubt about this, that the less is blessed of, that is, the lesser is blessed by the better. Now, who is the less here? Abraham. Who is the better? Melchizedek. And so if Melchizedek was a priest of God, and Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, and Jesus is a priest of Melchizedek's order, then Jesus is greater than Abraham, and Jesus' law is greater than the old law.